the San Francisco Experience podcast, brought to you by Jim Herlihy, independent commentary for a global audience, featuring newsmakers, thought leaders, and authors. Season 26, Episode 13, Carnaval San Francisco, talking with Rodrigo Duran, director of Carnaval. Hi, Rodrigo.
Hey. Hi, Jim.
Carnaval San Francisco is a two-day street festival, May 25th and 26th, presenting music, dance, and artistry that has showcased Latin American and Caribbean cultures since 1978. It will take place in the Mission District of San Francisco between 16th and 24th Streets on Harrison. This year's theme is Honor Indigenous Roots. The Grand Parade starts Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. and will feature 60 floats depicting multicultural themes. For instance, Brazilian-style samba schools, Caribbean performers from the Bahamas, Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Trinidad, as well as folkloric groups, will perform. And the Grand Marshal of this wonderful parade is Nobel Peace Prize winner Doctora Rigoberta Menchú Tum. The director of Carnaval, Rodrigo Duran, joins us from his office in San Francisco. Hi, Rodrigo, and welcome to the show.
Hola, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Terrific. Rodrigo, please take a few moments and tell us about yourself.
I'm a San Francisco native, born and raised in the Mission District. My parents both immigrated from Mexico in the early 80s. They met here, and next thing you know, they're building a family in San Francisco and loving it. I became part of Carnaval from even before I was born. You know, when people ask me, how long have you been involved? I said, since the womb. Because literally, my Carnaval is in May. I was born in July. My mom was very pregnant on a float that year in 1989 in her Aztec dance regalia, waving at the crowds. And my dad was dancing, you know, down the parade route. And so I was born into, brought up, and raised in the Carnaval tradition here, not only within my Mexican culture, but again, because it's so multicultural, multifaceted, I got to explore, you know, cultures from Cuba, from Bolivia, from Brazil. And so I was fed with a lot of rich cultures growing up. Long story short, did my studies in San Diego. I left the city, you know, to pursue college at UC San Diego. And then I did a study abroad program in Rio de Janeiro, where, you know, I learned Portuguese and experienced the carnival of carnivals out there. And so that was very enriching and just incredible. Came back and volunteered at Carnaval, and slowly got involved and learned all the different aspects of the organization. So it's been 10 years, and 2 years ago, I was promoted to lead the Carnaval as the executive director. And I also lead in a different base as a San Francisco Human Rights Commissioner as of last year. So I love to give back to my city, and I'm in a really fortunate position right now to do that.
Well, Rodrigo, first of all, thank you for your service. First of all, your community service with Carnaval, and then also your service to the city on the Human Rights Commission. It's terrific that we have a San Francisco native like yourself, who's not only putting so much effort into cultural activities like Carnaval, but also the Human Rights Commission. So once again, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Now, tell us about Carnaval and how you became involved.
Yeah, so I had mentioned that I was involved as a dancer, as an artist growing up, on and off my whole life. But it wasn't until I got back from studying in San Diego and finally moved back to the city and was living here with family that I got involved in the community. Did some tech, some corporate work for a bit, and at the time, they were looking for more volunteers, a younger generation of folks to train and mentor. And through the relationship that my father has had with, you know, my mentor now, Roberto Hernandez, they said, you know, he said, send over your family, your boys, whoever wants to volunteer. And that's how I started. I started out passing out flyers. Mm-hmm. I started out learning all the simple details of Carnival, learn about marketing through Carnival. Then I learned about the parade. I was mentored to do the parade. Then I was mentored to learn about the festival and all its intricate details there. Then sponsorship and, you know, community relations and so on and so forth. And like I had mentioned previously, it's been a 10-year journey for me to now proudly and fearlessly say I'm the executive director of Carnival San Francisco.
Well, it sounds as though you've touched every aspect of Carnival. Now tell us, you mentioned the parade, but you also mentioned the festival. Tell us about the festival and then we'll move on to the parade.
Yes, we internally refer to the festival as the beast and the parade is the beauty. And let's start with the beast. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's really more of a platform when you think about the festival. Because, yes, we do have the music, and that's phenomenal. That's what attracts people. It gives them a sense of, you know, joy and relief. And that's what brings the community to the event, the space. But really, it's also this platform where ideas get shared, where business transactions and business creation gets made. It's also space for resources to be distributed. We have our health and wellness pavilion, the drumming pavilion. We have a job fair in partnership with the city. And so we have all these different elements that make this event so special. Again, it's been going on for 45 and now this year 46 years. And so it's a space where people feel comfortable, people can share ideas, people feel heard, and can celebrate their many different identities, right? And so that's the beauty of the festival. And it's always 2 days, and it's going to take place from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. this year on Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday, that's May 25th and May 26th. And it's going to occupy, what, about 10 blocks?
17 blocks.
17 blocks. Okay.
Yeah.
Give us the geography. It's Harrison between 16th and 24th. Tell us, give us a little sense of ubi carne, if you will, in that space.
Yeah. Of course. And, you know, we have to consider the side streets as well between Alabama and Folsom. Uh-huh. And so altogether, like I said, it's 17 blocks of, you know, at the ends almost, we have some of the main stages, right? So if we start from 16th, on 17th, we have one of the larger stages where we will have one of our headliners perform on Saturday, for example. And we have this wonderful block full of food vendors right there. So if you're a foodie and you just want to try pupusas maybe in 1 hour, and then the other hour you want to have some ceviche from Peru, or you just want good old Mexican food, we have all of that there, right? Then we just have a list full of different merchants. And I'm talking about from, you know, clothing to jewelry to portraits to plants. That's a total of about 250 that we have just for vendors like that. And then we have the 50 different food vendors. We're talking 300 different people, places, and businesses that you can, you know, go and talk to, you can patronize and have a good time. We have our drumming and children pavilion this year. And we're so excited. There is a lady who is a Burning Man follower or attendee who is Latina, and she designed these beautiful alebrije, these sculptures that are so colorful and reflective of the cultures from Oaxaca, Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
And she's donating them and bringing them to, you know, for the children to immerse themselves in this beautiful world of alebrije, so to speak, in that children and drumming pavilion area. We're so happy, again, speaking of Carnival Festival as a platform, we're partnering with the city OEWD, the Mission Hiring Hall, and the Latino Task Force to curate a job and career fair on our festival. So if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for a career change, here we're going to have employers that, you know, are there for you. So we're always thinking about all the different benefits. We have a health and wellness pavilion. So if you have questions about your health, if you need it in Spanish, you need it in English, or you just want somewhere where you feel safe, at Carnival, we have all of that. And let's not forget all the music. We have 5 different DJ booths, 5 different stages, you know, 60 different artists representing all of Latin America and the Caribbean at our festival.
And of course, the festival is free. Obviously, the food you have to pay for, etc. But the rest of it's free, right?
Correct. It's 100% free, and it's always been for 45 years. And we pride ourselves of being so accessible, and we want it to stay that way, even though it's challenging because it's San Francisco. Yes. But we always find a way because we understand that there is a large community of folks, you know, that are underrepresented and disenfranchised, and that just need a space to be themselves. So that's Carnival San Francisco.
Now, let's move on. So the festival will take place on Saturday the 25th, Sunday the 26th, from 11 till 6, both days. But then Sunday morning at 9:30 starts the Grand Parade. Now, you were able to get a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Doctora Rigoberta Menchú Tum, to be the Grand Marshal. And of course, we know Doctora Rigoberta here in San Francisco because she was the winner of, in addition to winning the Nobel Peace Prize, she was also the winner of the Goldman Environmental Prize about 20-odd years ago. So tell us about how you were able to get her to be your Grand Marshal, because that is a story of determination and serendipity and drive and all of the qualities that you as director of Carnival have to show every day of the week in preparation for this Carnival. So tell us how you arranged to get her to be your Grand Marshal.
I found her on Facebook. Out of all places, you know, I was having a conversation with my board and I said, I don't have a Grand Marshal yet. And some names were thrown out, presented to me, and we went back and forth and we said, no, but this, you know, there's a lot of depth to this theme of honor indigenous roots. And we wanted to do it justice. And we're like, well, who can we bring? Who would represent it and embody it? And someone from the board said, why don't we invite, like you said, Dr. Rigoberta Menchú Tum from Guatemala. I said, great. So who's got the number? Who's got the content? No one had no one had any information. And so I said, I get it. Okay. I will find Doctora, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, somehow, some way. So I went online, went everywhere, and then after looking at different articles, I couldn't find how to find her. And then I decided to go on Instagram. I found out she was active, and she is. And I, you know, I sent her a direct message because there was no other information in her profile. Didn't get an answer in like 2-3 days, and I said, God, this is over. There's no way I'm going to get a hold of her. And then I thought, good old Facebook. A lot of people put a lot of information in their profile there versus Instagram. So I went. Uh-huh. Lo and behold, there's a phone number there, and it's not from the U.S. And I said, this has to be it. So I called, and you know when you call internationally, you hear that tune?
Yes.
Like a little ring, and you're like, I'm like, oh, this is going somewhere, but who's going to be on the other side? Well, it was the office of Doctora Menchú Tum, and I was able to speak with someone from the staff and explain what Carnival is and how honored we would be to have her join us given this theme. And it just evolved into these other conversations to the point where they decided we would love to be part and join your Carnival. And we obviously at Carnival are just thrilled and honored to through all these hoops bring this to fruition. And I, you know, someone pinched me because this is we call her internally our Mayan Mother Teresa.
Yes.
That's how floored we are that she's going to grace our streets of San Francisco, not only for us as Carnival, but just as a city as a whole. You know, to have someone of that caliber is just, you know, mind blowing. And so we're very happy and honored.
Well, she's a very inspirational person. And to say nothing of having won the Nobel Peace Prize, the Goldman Environmental Prize, a very inspirational person. So you're off to a great start with a world-class Grand Marshal who really speaks to your theme, which is honoring Indigenous roots. I couldn't imagine a Grand Marshal who would be a better embodiment of honoring Indigenous roots than Doctora Rigoberta Menchú Tum. So kudos to you. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with your ingenuity there. Now let's move on and share with us some of the mechanics of this great parade. It starts at 9:30. I think there are 60-odd floats. Tell us who will be in the parade, and first of all, tell us the location of the parade.
Right. So the parade is a total of 20 blocks. So that's over a mile. And it begins, well, really, if you want to talk about where it begins, where the sauce is made,
yes,
isn't the staging area, the area that most people don't see, right? The public doesn't see this, but on Bryant, between 17th and Cesar Chavez, is a staging area. If you're a curious folk like me and you want to take a look at what's happening there, that's really where a lot of the condiments are being placed to make that delicious sopa de pollo, you know, that delicious soup, because you just see how it all comes to life, right? The colors, the floats, the music, the languages are all present there. Then they start getting funneled in into the parade. So that's 24th and Bryant. Uh-huh. So on 24th and Bryant, they start coming in. And then on 24th and Harrison, they wave to their left, or on the south side, I should say. And that's where the telecast crew from CBS is going to be present, announcing all the different comparsas coming down the parade. So what you're seeing is this kaleidoscope of colors and feathers just going down. And the thing I realized standing on 24th and Bryant, there's a slight slope going down to Mission Street. Uh-huh. So you get to see all the different comparsas almost layered down in all their beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. So then on 24th and Mission, it veers north and goes all the way down to 15th and Mission, where it comes to a completion. So it's this wonderful parade that I invite everyone to see. It's 100% free. There is a small exception if you want to sit down and get a great view of the parade. We have our grandstand seating area where the judges are also present. And that's where the contingents, comparsas, do their beautiful performance that they've worked on for a year to find out and showcase, right? So that we can find out who's the grand champion and who's, you know, the wonderful winners of each category.
And the judges' stand will be on Mission Street at what cross street?
It's between 22nd and 23rd Street.
22nd and 23rd. And for any of our listeners here in the Bay Area, if you're planning to attend Carnival, you can hop on BART, whether you're coming from the East Bay or the South Bay or just from the city, hop on BART, and you can get off at the 24th Street stop or the 16th Street stop, and you'll be right there in the middle of Carnival.
Exactly.
Don't bring your car. Mm-mm. Probably don't even bring your bike. But but just get on BART and emerge at either the 24th Street or the 16th Street stops. Come up onto Mission Street. And as Rodrigo said, at Mission and 22nd Street will be the judges' stand. So that's where probably the largest crowds are going to be, because that's where the performers will actually show their stuff, if you will, to the judges. Now, Rodrigo, having put this together, and I'm sure you've been working on this all year, where are you going to be in all of this between the festival and the parade and the judges' stand and all the floats? Where are you physically going to be?
Yeah. That's a great question. You know, the simple answer is everywhere, right? right? But there are certain places where I just see myself and I dream of this every day leading up to Carnival. So at the festival, especially on Saturday, is the day when we're having our headliners. So we have one headliner that we're flying in from Mexico that's playing corrido music, regional Mexican music. Uh-huh. Then we have, and then I'm going to hop from there. I'm going to hop to the other stage where we're going to have an artist that's flying in from Puerto Rico to do some hot Puerto Rican salsa, right?
Yes.
So that's where I want to be on Saturday, right? Those are two good places to be. I want to be at the Drum Pavilion in the children's area. I have a child. She's a year and 8 months. Uh-huh. And so my wife is going to be there. And I want to interact and, you know, feel the festival with all the public also enjoying that space. That's the festival. Sunday, the parade, I see myself in two places. One, on 24th and Harrison, where the telecast is going to be present, because that's where the comparsas wake up. It's the first wake-up call. And then they just do a wonderful performance in front of television. So it's this, this is beautiful kind of ephemeral experience that just happens right there in front of the cameras. And the other place is going to be the grandstand seating area that I mentioned, because that's where my wife and my baby are going to be sitting. So I like to just walk down, literally walk, because I can, right? I can walk down the parade, right? as a director, one of my perks, and I just walk over to the grandstand area, say hi to all the people that I know, because I know so many people there because they're from my community, and then take a breather, sit down with my wife and baby while everything's going wildly, crazily good, and enjoy those moments.
Now, you use the word comparsas.
The comparsa is a term that we use in Spanish. It specifically means a dancing contingent.
I see.
Yeah. And so we love that term because there isn't a term like that in English. There's contingent, but that's very general.
Yes.
It can be a walking contingent, a dancing contingent, you name it, right? But here in Carnaval, we emphasize on the dancing aspect, and a comparsa encompasses that idea.
That's very exciting. And once you get to the judges' stand, you know, it's amazing. Your family, for three generations, has been involved with Carnaval. Your parents, first of all, you yourself, as a baby, right up to today. And then, of course, your own baby girl.
Yeah.
So three generations of one family involved in Carnaval. And I guess there are many families that are involved in Carnaval in the Mission District, would you say?
I know of a family, it's five generations.
Really?
Well, I mean, first of all, we're Latinos, right? Leave that for you to decide what that means. But second, it's been around for 46 years. So, you know, we've had that many people in generations. So, and it's beautiful. We've taken a photo of that generation, of that family specifically. And, you know, it's the great-grandma at this point, the grandma, the mom, and the daughter. You know, and then the daughter's daughter. So there's so many generations at Carnaval. And that's what makes it so beautiful. And honestly, it's the reason why it's been so resilient. And, you know, with all the ebbs and flows of San Francisco's economy, culture, society that we've witnessed and the people have witnessed, we're still here.
Yeah.
We're still here. We are a nonprofit organization. We rely on over 300 volunteers to make this happen. And even as things get more expensive, our people get more and more involved, which allows us to have this multicultural celebration, the largest in California.
For all of our listeners, whether here in San Francisco, the greater Bay Area, beyond, overseas, I really recommend, if you can, to, on the 25th and 26th, come into the city, come down to the Mission District, enjoy the festival, enjoy the parade. It will really give you in 2 days, you will have a much better sense of the richness and the diversity of the Hispanic and Latin culture here in San Francisco and the Bay Area. And Carnaval represents that coming together and celebration of all of these different cultures, because it's not just one culture. There are many cultures, whether it's from Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, they're all going to be represented. So I thoroughly recommend that to really get a sense of what Latin culture in San Francisco and the Bay Area is all about, come to Carnival. You'll spend 2 days and you will have a much deeper understanding of what Latin culture in the Bay Area is all about. Well, Rodrigo, in the remaining few minutes of the podcast, what are your closing thoughts about Carnival San Francisco 2024?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, and that was beautifully said. I'm going to copyright everything you said. No, thank you so much. And you really captured the essence of what makes Carnival so special and unique. And so getting involved is so important. Informing and then spreading the word is so key to, you know, ensuring that it's successful every year. So carnivalsanfrancisco.org is our website. There you can get involved either as a volunteer, as a donor, as a sponsor, or you can just find out what your schedule would look like at Carnival with the headliners, the lineups, the different food vendors, the parade lineup. You know, we welcome you all to try the many facets of Carnival San Francisco. You can look us up on Carnival SF is our handle on Instagram, and then on Facebook, Carnival San Francisco. You know, this year with Honor Indigenous Roots, we are really taking an introspective look at who we are from our indigenous side. Mm-hmm. So that means obviously from Alaska all the way down to Chile and also outside of the Americas, you know, what indigenous heritage and culture means to you as a person, whether you relate to it personally from your ancestors or if you relate from being involved in different movements. We challenge people and we encourage people to look from within and see the beauty of all those wonderful traditions. And we're highlighting that this year, and we couldn't be more proud, again, to bring Doctora Rigoberta Menchú to really lift up our spirits and give us that energy, not only for this Carnival, but for the next generation.
And Rodrigo, how can our listeners contact you if they want to reach out to you personally?
Yeah, you can call me at 415-691-1147. Or you can send me an email at rodrigo@carnivalsf.org. I'm an open book. I welcome conversation, inquiries, and anything in between.
Rodrigo Duran, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And for our listeners, today's show is number 520. Listen to us on Apple, Spotify, Pandora, 18 platforms with listeners in 60 countries. FeedSpot has recognized us as a top 25 California news podcast, ranking us number 12. This has been the San Francisco Experience Podcast with Jim Herlihy, coming to you from San Francisco.